We're in Hebrews 11, and I read on the verses we're at. Verse 32, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. So that's the phrase we have. So I thought I'd bring Daniel in there. Stop the mouths of lions. That's why I put him in this list. And perhaps the most telling verse in that chapter is, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Now, Daniel is a man, obviously, here of good reputation. We are presented with men and women of faith. We call it the gallery of faith. It's something very wonderful. Faith, when it is in action, is a very wonderful thing. We don't always exercise it like we should, but when we do, it is to our advantage. Now, we have people like this mentioned here. They're not particularly in order, as you've noticed, but nevertheless, they've been selected. And I think it's quite justifiable in mentioning Daniel because stop the mouths of lions. In Hebrews 11:6, we have the words, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, considering the list, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Now, it's an amazing line there regarding Daniel, and also the commendation in the verses before as well. Now then, the account that we have here, there's a lovely verse here from Exodus. Not one of all the good God's promises which the Lord hath made to the house of Israel hath failed, all come to pass. It's a very lovely verse. Not one of his promises fail, they all come to pass. Now, Daniel has served under a number of these kings. Do you remember the accounts of Daniel? Well, you would all know it probably, with Nebuchadnezzar, and how he was esteemed highly then, and also with Belshazzar and Belshazzar's feast and the dream. And then we come to Darius, the next king, and he finds favour with him as well. And I like that phrase in this chapter. I think it's a phrase that I've always liked, not just for Daniel, but for anybody who's like that. In him was found a most excellent spirit. It's not a lovely thing. If you're able to say that about a person, in him was found a most excellent spirit. It's a lovely thing. Now then, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom, well, I needn't read all that, 120 princes, to kind of areas, I suppose, and three presidents over them. And the main of these three presidents was Daniel. And Daniel was preferred of them all because of this lovely spirit of his. Maybe the others were a bit sharp, a bit mean, ambitious, whatever they were. But with Daniel, he's very relaxed about it all because his faith is in God. The interesting thing about him is that he doesn't seek favour of kings. He doesn't seek their anger either. He just seeks the favour of God. It doesn't really matter to him in one way, you know, what king is reigning and what they have to say and what they have to do. He's faithful to God and faithful to himself in this. So this is the kind of man we have. You can predict what he would do because of this spirit that's in him. Now, it's a rare thing, an excellent spirit, you know. I'm sure you feel like searching your own heart like I search mine too. Have we got that excellent spirit? We can be angry, we can be critical, we can be sorry for ourselves, we can be all sorts of things, but it's lovely to have that most excellent spirit. Now, his faith is tested. His life was challenged for many in the land. But they were faith does a strange thing. It will encourage admiration in some and hatred in others. Now, you know that's true. I found that very often when some of the young people in one of the places I've been were going on with the Lord. The others who'd made professions were very angry. Why were they angry? They were angry because the Lord was not that real to them. That's why they were angry. So it'll have a double effect, you see, that his faith and his excellent spirit made some furious, and it made others, they admired him and they loved him. So, you know, it's quite true that saying, beware when all men speak well of you. You know, it's a kind of a red light there, a danger, when all men speak well of you. But here, he's hated and he's loved. His life was a challenge. But these men got together and they wanted to bring him down, get rid of him. Why should he, this Jew? Why should he, of the captivity of Judah? Why should he be preferred amongst us and over us all? He'd been placed over them all. He was in a very favourable position. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion or fault, forasmuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Let's look at the books. Let's look at his life. Let's look at everything around him. And they examined everything, and they just couldn't find anything they could say, this man is a fraud. They couldn't find anything. And you know how they scrutinized politicians? Well, certainly these men knew how to scrutinize Daniel as well. But they couldn't find anything. But such is hatred. Either saying, well, he is really a good man. We should lay off here. He's a good man. Instead of being like that, they said, well, we'll try another way. And we know the way. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Now, he believes in his God. It's quite apparent. It's his life. Now, if we could find fault there, well, they wouldn't be able to find fault there, except in a very cunning way. They went to the king, and all kings, I suppose, are vain and like to be praised and admired by their followers. Then the presidents and princes assembled together the king, and they said, oh, King Darius, live forever, you know. And then they said, we would like to make a decree that no one should pray or make a petition to anybody except to thee, O king, for 30 days. And if anybody should show that lack of respect to thee, O king, he should be put in the den of lions. Well, Darius fell for it. It's vanity, really. He fell for it. And he said, well, sign it, sign. Now, it's still a saying, isn't it, when we say, that can't be changed. It's like the laws of the Medes and the Persians. You still use it? We still use it, don't we? The law of the Medes and the Persians, something that can never be changed. Not even the king himself would be able to change it. And he signed it. Now then, all the presidents of the kingdom, governors and princes and councillors and captains, have considered together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. So quite definite about it. Now, O king, establish a decree and sign. Isn't a signature such an important thing? You know, sometimes people say, well, that wasn't fair, but you've signed. But I didn't realize what I was signing. Well, you should have read it, you know. Once you've signed, well, this, come on, sign it, O king, that it be not changed, and that you might be in line with the laws of the Medes and the Persians. It made it sound good. It did sound good. That they greatly admired King Darius. They wanted everybody to bow the knee to him for 30 days or be punished. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. He did it. But you see, here, there is something that you see running right through it, and that is the sovereignty of God. God is going to use this treacherous behavior for his glory. I wonder how he does this, but he does. He can change something that seems so adverse, so against his way, and yet the end result. You see, remember the last verse 26 that I read, that he there's a decree that they should worship the living God, the God of Daniel. Who'd ever think that out of this treachery, that the king would appeal that all the men and women in his kingdom should worship the God of Daniel? Yet such is the sovereignty of God. But the way is a painful one. And it never is an easy one. I think it always has been a painful one. Now, the triumph of faith here. The reaction of Daniel. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Now then, he had 3 quiet times, right, in a day. And for them, remember, a place in the Old Testament was important. Jerusalem was important. The temple was important. The presence of God very often was associated with a place, the Shekinah glory, in the Ark of the Covenant, in the Holy of Holies. So facing Jerusalem was very important to them. And so 3 times a day, he would go apart from what he was doing and he would pray. Now, he learns that this had been signed. And he could have said, well, this is not fair. I'm honest. I serve the king well. I'm never cheated. This is not right. He could have talked like that. I suppose many of us would feel like that. We'll write a letter of complaint. We'll go to our local MP or whatever, you know, and make some kind of appeal. What happens is this. He went, as he did aforetime, to pray. As usual, he went to pray. Nothing was to distract him from that. Sometimes I get quite alarmed by how easily we are distracted and we are not threatened with the den of lions. But he was not distracted, lions or no lions. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before God. They knew the times. They knew when to pray. They knew what time he went. So they spied on him. But Daniel does not panic. And they approach the king. And say, I've got a traitor here. And the king told him about the law, reminded him, and of the lions, and of Daniel. The king answered and said, the thing is true. Yes, I have signed this. According to the laws of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. And I know that. Then after he'd said that, they said, but Daniel has disobeyed. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, we saw the children of the captivity of Judah. You can see the hatred, can't you, against the people of Judah. Regard it not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Not only once, but 3 times a day. The king was very sad. In fact, the king was heartbroken. You feel really for King Darius here. The sorrow of the king, and he regretted having signed it. But it was the law of the Medes and the Persians, and nothing could change that. Nothing could change it. Then the king, when he heard these words, was very displeased with himself. He set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. He did everything he could to find some loophole in the law of the Medes and the Persians, but he could not, and he knew he had signed it, and he could not deny it. So Daniel is cast into the den of lions. Then the king commanded, and they brought out Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now, if I may pause there, how he takes it. He could have been saying, I've been framed. You know, I've been trapped and you've been tricked. It's not fair. He could have gone, been having to be dragged and screaming or even shouting for mercy. No. He walks with dignity. Why? His sight is not on the lions or his enemies, but on God. That's the difference. And if we could do that, you know, our sight not on our circumstances, not on our enemies, not on any lies or anything that may come against us, but on God. Now the king spoke and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will be with thee. He's not sure, but he hopes that this God of his would not let him down, and the stone is sealed. The king has a bad night. You know, now you might say, this hymn might fit, when all things seems against us to drive us to despair. But Daniel was not in despair. You know, plus we would be, I think I would be, in a den of lions, you know, in despair. There are all sorts of lions in this world. They aren't always the four-footed creatures, you know. There are many lions willing to tear us apart. But he doesn't despair. His eye is not upon his enemies, not upon the lions themselves, but upon God, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. He looked to his God. Now that's what I am sure. Through all the ages, those who are the Lord's people have always looked to their God. I suppose it's more startling in a time of martyrdom when you find the wonder and the bravery of such people, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith, as Hebrews 12. Now then, our faith should be similar. It should be like that. It won't always be easy to do it. I can't find much more miserable situation than Daniel's, you know. Whether they are real lions here, I'm not disputing that for one moment, but we're often surrounded by lions, you know. When you think today of what we believe in, it has become increasingly unpopular. You know, things like this. When I first came to the city, we opened quite a number of Sunday schools. And I can remember in one area, we just managed to get the school and it's used on Sunday afternoon. And we went round some houses and we immediately had 300 children. You know, it's an amazing thing. But now, if you went round houses in a similar kind of area, ordinary kind of area, they would be, they'd either be too busy or refuse. But you'd also find open hostility, wouldn't you? You'd find hostility today. So that, you know, it's very frightening. So in a sense, we are becoming increasingly isolated as the people of the Lord. And this is the age we are in. And you could have said to Daniel, well, Daniel, you're only one. And he'd say, what does that matter? God is with me. God is with me, you know. And if we could have that kind of faith, I know I'm not very keen on it. Children's choruses, really. But we used to sing as children, well, I didn't, but in the Sunday schools I've known on, dare to be a Daniel, you know. It's even become that kind of phrase, be as brave as Daniel. Now, the king has a deep concern. He had a terrible night. He didn't want musicians to soothe him. He didn't want anybody to comfort him. He felt terribly. He was disappointed in himself. And he was longing for the dawn to come. And so when the dawn came, he rushed to where the lion's den was. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. So he was not really cheerful unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, whom thou servest, continually able to deliver thee from the lions. Has the miracle happened? Has he been able to deliver thee? And then, maybe to his amazement and to his joy anyway, my God has set his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me. Sometimes we forget. We mustn't forget we worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But there is such a thing as the ministry of angels. If you look through the scriptures, there are angels with all sorts of different duties. Apart from the archangels, cherubims and seraphims of a high order, there are many with different duties, and the study of them is a very interesting one. So long as you're not taken up with that, but knowing that such a thing. Now, from that has risen a superstition that everybody has his guardian angel. I don't think that is really spiritually logical, but sometimes we entertain angels unawares. Sometimes we're helped by angels, hardly known to ourselves, you know, sometimes. So we can't disregard the remarkable way in which God works. He's not limited. Of course he can send an angel to comfort us. We may not recognize, we may not know. We don't worship an angel. That's told in Revelation, don't bow before me. We worship God. Nevertheless, it's that lovely ministry. They ministered to our Lord in the desert when he was tempted. And God of Gethsemane, they were there to comfort and to uphold. And I think when you appreciate the thing, it becomes a reality. That's the thing, to know. This is true. This can happen. I shall be comforted. I shall be upheld. And he will send angels to help and support me. And whatever the outcome may be, I will be strengthened. I'll be helped. But we know that the absolute strength comes from God himself. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me. I've been perfectly safe through all this. That's a very lovely thing. In verses further on, we see how his enemies are then punished in the brutal way that they would punish in those days. But it's a challenge in our situation. The outcome was so happy for Daniel and so happy for King Darius as well. But the greatest happiness here is what the king says. I make a decree. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, in every corner of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. No one else, not me or anyone else. The God of Daniel, for he is a living God and steadfast forever. A remarkable thing from the lips of what was a pagan king. You know, some of these kings became believers. You say that we may not be worthy or cruel. Yes, it was true. Nevertheless, they too could respond. Just listen, for he is a living God and steadfast forever. But over it all is the sovereignty of God. God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. What's he doing here? Winning the heart of a king in his kingdom. Who'd ever have thought that those wicked men who tried to bring Daniel down were going to be the means in God's hands of winning a king to God and a kingdom at the same time? Do you think big? Do you think small? Do you think he can do it again? Do you think he can? We know he can. We do not know if he will. I hope he will. But we know he can. And to be able to, someone or another, in our hearts, have our faith strengthened, you know, to be strong in faith. Now, we'll finish that. But you know what? We've sung our second hymn, and we shouldn't have. Because it should be now, all right? We'll have